Good morning, everybody, and Ray's here, and those who are on Zoom as well. We live in an interesting time and in an interesting country. Many people who lived before us had a life much harder than we did. It was a fight to live every day. Now, there are those in this world today who still fight every day to find food, shelter, and clothing. But we here in the United States live a life that by any means compared to any other point in time in history or location is extremely affluent and easy and comfortable. Think about how much people talk and worry about their comfort. We get upset when there's no Wi-Fi signal, right? I don't have service on my cell phone. I can't check my stocks, or I can't check the latest news, or I can't check the latest posting by my friends and family on Facebook. What will I ever do, right? We live in a society where we put our comfort above most anything else in this world. We all have our favorite chair to sit in and to relax. Maybe if we do have a long, hard day of work, we look forward to getting home and sitting down in that chair and relaxing. You can pull up just about any movie or any television TV show that has ever aired at your fingertips now. And you can even do it without commercials in some cases, right? Our lives have become nothing but easy. And easy and comfortable is dangerous for our spiritual lives. If we let this world cater to our comforts and we allow ourselves to be catered to in those comforts, we risk denying who we really are. We each look out for ourselves and not look out for the things of God. I was telling my mind went blank. I know his name. I've only been here 3 years, right? I was telling Terry just before the service, I found it interesting that I didn't look at the Sunday school lesson this morning. I do some Sundays, even if I'm not teaching. But it was out of the book of Zephaniah. And I'd actually looked at Zephaniah this morning because Zephaniah was a prophet of God, right, who lived during the time of good King Josiah. And I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, I shared about King Josiah and that he was the one that tore down the high places, right? All these kings that we've been reading in Sunday school, up and down of they did good or they didn't do good, but they all failed to tear down the high places. Not only did he tear them down, he destroyed them, he burnt them and scattered the ashes and just totally demolished everything. And he did what he thought was right in the sight of God until they found the scripture and they read them. And King Josiah's heart was so moved that he tore his clothes because what he had thought had been doing right, God showed him what was right. So Zephaniah was one of the prophets during that time. And this is not I'd give him verses to Bill, but this was one that kind of came up. So I'm going to read it real quick. What God thinks about complacency and what God thinks about being comfortable in this world. And this is out of the first chapter of Zephaniah in verse 12. It will come at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. People who are just getting by, who are just existing. I find this kind of relates to my own life. There was a point in my life that God spoke to me and told me what he wanted in my life. And in my foolishness and in my selfishness, I got very angry and fought against God. And you know, when you fought against God, you're gonna lose. But I was too arrogant, too prideful. And I wanted to, and I remember saying these exact words to God, saying, I want to be left alone. I just want to exist. Because there's comfort in existence. There's comfort and just going with the flow and living day by day. Well, this is where the message picks up this morning in the book of Revelation. Christ has a warning for the church. And this is in chapter 3, starting in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. This is Jesus speaking directly, right? The Amen, the certainty of truth. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. Being warm is comfortable. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. We all like to keep our houses warm, right? Even if it goes up a degree or two, sometimes that's too hot. And if it goes down a degree or two, it's too cold, especially if you live with Christine, right? I don't even touch the thermostat anymore. I can't win that fight. But it's that comfort, right, of just being warm. Are you comfortable in your walk and in your relationship with God? Because you should not be comfort. Now, you can find comfort in God. You could find true joy, hope, and peace in Him. But we should never become complacent about who we are and about who He is and that relationship that we have with Him. It is extremely dangerous to be comfortable. Because when you are comfortable, you are complacent and you are not listening. You are just going with the flow of day-to-day life. And I am guilty of this, and I share this with you because I am guilty of it, and it's something we all struggle with. That we need to have that fire for God. We have to be fervent, which will be in a later verse. Fervent means you're boiling. You're burning up. You should be passionate about God. You should be passionate about your relationship and your walk with Him. And you should treat it as such. Do not be complacent. Do not be warm. And he goes on to say, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's a nice way of saying something else, right? It's sickening when we are warm. We are useless, and he'd rather we would be hot or we'd be cold. Preferably, right, God wants us to be hot. But what is good is cold compared to lukewarm. Cold means you're going to realize where you are, and it's not a good place, and you may come back to a life with God. If you're cold, you're going to be uncomfortable, and you're going to notice something's wrong, and you might actually do something about it. But if you're warm, you're just existing. You're just going along. Everything's become mundane. Everything's become common. Not only in who we are with each other in this place, or even outside, who we are with everybody in the world, and who we are before God. But and this says it here, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, right? We all have wants. And there may be some who actually do have needs, right? Like I said, there are still people who go hungry. There are still people who look for shelter. There are still people who need clothing, who need a job. But admittedly, most of us, do you really have many needs in the physical flesh? We have a lot of wants. I want that latest iPhone, right? Or I want that latest Samsung phone. Or I want that latest tablet. Or I want that newest car, nice truck, right? But we've become lazy and we've become complacent because we are living in the age of apostasy. Apathy takes hold when comfort takes hold. Every day we get into the routines of life because we live a life that allows us to exist and go on. Men are a creature of habit. Right, I know a lot of us probably get up and do the exact same thing every morning, and we find comfort in that strength of regiment. We should not be finding comfort in our own lives. We should find our comfort in God. Become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you who do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor, blind, and naked. It's in that comfort that we don't even examine our own selves. We don't know who we are before God because we just don't care. We're just going on. We may say we care. We may think that we care. But when we're living a life of apathy, in a world full of apathy, how much do you really even examine yourself? Do you just go on in that routine and those doldrums for the day? I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich in white garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. It is God who gives us what we truly need. It is God who provides us heavenly treasures, his blessings of who he is and what he can do to us and then what he can accomplish through us. Be clothed, right? Even Christ uses this as an example of being clothed in righteousness, right? We're to throw off that old flesh and that old self and to put on the white garments of righteousness, to walk rightly in God's ways and God's edicts and God's commandments. And then be an eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Wake up. Open your eyes. Allow God to reveal who he is and to reveal who you are and to reveal his wisdom and how to live and who you are called to be. Those whom I love, I reprove. Reprove's an interesting word. Reprove is to basically correct in gentleness, in kindness, and in truth. God will correct you one way or another, right? It talks about the rod and the staff. It's better to be led by the rod than to be corrected by the staff. Allow God to reprove you. Seek reprovement from God in your everyday life. In your quiet time when you sit down and you ask God who I am and who are you and show me who I am and show me who you are, ask God to correct you. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the influence in your life that in all situations and all times you hear that gentle voice telling you that's not who you're to be. In those moments when you get angry with someone, right? If you're walking in the Spirit because you're living by the Spirit, you should hear the Spirit whispering to you, right? No, that's wrong. I often do find, and I thank God for it, that in moments of anger, it's easy to get very angry at this world and everyone around you, right? We hear news every day, as Terry had shared in Sunday school. And if you weren't here, I know I'm sounding like Lloyd, right? You missed a good Sunday school, but it's true. It actually, I was telling him the lesson that I had today builds on what he had this morning. We hear those things in the world. You know, people, it's very easy, right? As Lloyd says, we're always wanting to look at the sin of others and judge other people. And we do get angry in that. But sometimes there's a righteous anger, right? We see things that are leading people astray. We see people speaking false words, and it angers us. But in that moment, right, remember who you are, remember who God is, and listen to that correction and saying, you know what? They don't know the truth. And they're lost just as once I was lost. Thank you, Lord. Thank God in those moments of being reproved, because he is doing it out of love, and he's doing it in a gentle and kindful way. Because if you don't, there will come a time that the rod comes, and you will be corrected harshly and hardly, because God loves you enough, he's going to hit you over the head if he has to get your attention. Any good parent, or any parent who's raised children, right, knows this, that you try to correct your children. If they don't listen, then comes more drastic measures and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Are we zealous in our repentance? Do you go to God when you have done wrong and you have sinned and you have allowed that sin to interfere in your fellowship with God? Is your heart's desire to truly be back in fellowship with God and to repent of that way and to seek God again and his fellowship and to take that to God so that you may truly repent of that sin? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. This is one of the most misused verses in all of the Bible. This is a letter written to a church. These are to his people. This isn't, and I'll get a little trouble here with the Baptists, right? This is not an invitation to bring God into your heart, as the Baptists like to say, and you misuse this. I know probably the Methodists and others do as well. This is a letter writing saying, God is so gracious, God is so merciful, God is so patient, that even though this church has denied him and has become apathetic and lukewarm, he is still waiting to have a fellowship with them. God desires nothing more than to have all men redeemed. And those who are redeemed, he desires a relationship with. And he desires to fellowship with. I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, and I will overcome as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Listen to God. Listen to God's word. Listen to God calling in your lives. Listen to the Holy Spirit when it speaks to you in everyday situations. Well, what do I have to do? What do I do every day? How do I overcome being apathetic? How do I make sure I'm living a fervent life? Well, Lloyd has kind of recently been talking about, right, the armor of God. Let's take a look at Ephesians 6. And it starts in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We have no strength without God. And it's in our own weakness that the very might and strength of God is perfected. Rely on God. Don't rely on your own strength, because you are weak. We are all weak. And when I say you, I mean myself as well. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Do you take the time every day to put on the armor of God? Just as you get dressed in the morning to go to work, some maybe have to put on ties and a coat, some not so much anymore, right? Making fun of Dylan. He's enjoying it probably. All right. You get dressed for work, right? A carpenter puts on a tool belt, has his tools on it, right? A doctor takes his stethoscope and his lab coat. Different jobs have different requirements, and they put on different clothing. Just as you prepare for a job on a day, do you prepare for your day by putting on the armor of God so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil? The devil desires nothing more than to interrupt the relationship you have with God. You can't get your soul if you are truly a child of God and you've been born again, but he will do everything he can to ensnare you and to trap you in this world. and the comfort and the apathy of this world makes that extremely easy to do. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is in this world and the things of this world. Our struggle is against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The Bible talks about there's a spiritual war that is going on and raging all around us. And be thankful you don't see it, because it'll probably scare us all to death. There's a war like any other war for the souls and the hearts and the minds of men. As children of God, we have to fight that, right? While our souls may be secure in our salvation, that doesn't mean that war and all that goes on around us is not going to interrupt our lives if we allow it. Just as a soldier goes into combat and prepares and puts on armor, puts on, you know, if you think in the old days, right, the sword and the shield, or the spear and the shield and the body armor and the arm guards and the leg guards, or even today, modern combat, right? Combat boots, combat helmet, body armor. These guys lug around like 75 pounds or more on them to help protect them, give them everything they need in combat. They carry not only weapons and explosives and bullets and everything else, but they carry utilities, they carry knives, they carry everything they need to go into combat. God gives you everything you need in this war, but you have to put it on and you have to carry it. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. I know Lloyd's challenged us a couple times, said, do we even know what these are, right? Can you even memorize these? Not that you have to memorize them, but to understand. Having girded your loins with truth, your very core, your very center of who you are should be guarded by the truth of God. That should be the very basis of everything that we do and are. All relates back to the truth of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate protect? Yeah. Protect your chest, and more importantly, the most vulnerable part of your chest is your heart. Are you guarding your heart with the righteousness of God? The Bible talks quite a bit about your heart, right? Christ says, I don't desire sacrifice, I desire a compassionate heart. David had a heart for God. What does that mean? Righteousness. Guard your heart with righteousness. Do not let this world and emotions sway who you are. Let God and righteousness dictate who you are. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To my sisters out there, you ever gone hiking in high heels? No. Why? Why do we put on hiking boots when we're actually going to go on a rough hike? You need good shoes for what? Support, right? So you don't break an ankle or twist an ankle. How you ladies walk in high heels, I'll never know. I've not tried. I'm not going to try. It's foolishness if I would try, right? Your strength and your stability in your walk is based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. Walk in that knowledge. Let that be what guides your footsteps. The teachings of Christ are how we are to live in this world and who we're to be. Let that support you so that you may stand firm. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. It's our faith that protects us against, right, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. It is that faith that we hold dear and that we guard, and it guards us in return against all that comes at us, all the flaming arrows of the evil one, all the distractions, all the evil of the world. And take the helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do? Protects your head, right? This is your mind. This is your thoughts. Allow your salvation to guard your thoughts and to your mind of who you are and how you think and how you react in this world. All that defense, and now the offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the God. I don't attack others. All this other stuff is about defending me and protecting me. It is the Holy Spirit, right, through the word of God, that fights off all that is attacking me. Realizing I cannot do this on my own. It is only by the Holy Spirit that I can fight off evil. And that comes from my time in the Word of God, and God revealing truth to me, and God teaching me who I am to be. I had originally left off verse 18, but this kind of goes back to a little bit what Terry had said this morning. I do want to read this one verse. With the prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all the perseverance and petition for all the saints. Each and every one of us knows how hard the fight can be. And we are to persevere, as Paul says in right, running that race to win. Persevere. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, it's a lifetime. And because each and every one of us knows how difficult this is, we should be praying for each and everybody else and supporting them. Do you pray for each and every one of us here today, every day? Do you pray for all the other God's children, that God gives them the strength to fight that day, to stand firm in their belief, and to stand firm in the Word of God? All right, I'm going to go over to, Colossians 3. And I just kind of want to read this quickly. I'm running out of time. Although, you guys are going to give me an extra 10 minutes, right? Starting in verse 5. All right. The characteristics of who we are. You put on this armor of God. You spend that time every day with God. You spend that time all day with God, right? Prayer is not just get up in the morning, thank you, God, lead me this day, be with me, amen. Thank you, God, for this food, amen. And at the end of the day, thank you, God, for getting me through the day, amen. You are to pray unceasingly. You're to be in an attitude of prayer all day. When you put on that armor of God, when you have that attitude of prayer, when you worship God in all that you are, and you honor God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. If you are born again, you have thrown off who you were. The old nature is not who you are anymore. You are a child of God, and you have been given a new life and a new purpose. It doesn't mean it doesn't cling on and doesn't fight, but it's the Holy Spirit that helps us put it to death. That is a life of sanctification. It's a process. But if you're not putting on that armor of God every day, how can you put to death and allow the Holy Spirit to put it to death? The immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Greed does amount to idolatry. People worship the almighty dollar. Greed causes us to change our focus. And your focus isn't God. It's on anything else. That is the very definition of idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. God's already judged the world, and these are characteristics of those who are in the world, who are in the flesh. The wrath of God will come. There's a day of judgment and a day of atonement. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. It's not always what we do. Sometimes it's what we say, either to people's faces or behind their backs. It's not who we are anymore. Don't let that be a characteristic of who you are. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's a present tense, is being renewed. That's sanctification. It's a process. But if you are not taking that time every day with God, and you are not putting on that armor of God, you're not being renewed. And that old self will creep in. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. It doesn't matter who you were born. That's the old self. It matters who you are now. But Christ is all and in all. We don't see each other by the color of our skin. We don't see each other by where you were born, or your accent, or what country you came from, or what your heritage is, or by what you do for a living. Do you see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you see Jesus Christ in each and every one around you, if they're a child of God? Because as ambassadors of Christ, we are to carry that light in this world, and light recognizes light. You should see the light in each other. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What are some of those? Fruits of the Spirit. You'll know whether a tree is good by what it bears. Is your heart good? Because Christ has changed who you are and given you new life. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, and so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. The greatest of these is love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We are united through Jesus Christ in God. We are united to God. And because of that common unity of God, we are all united with each other as children of God. There should be no quarrels. There should be no slander. There should be no lying. We're all united in heart, mind, soul, body, and Lord. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Every day you should be thankful for who God is. Every day you should be thankful for the redemption that God provided through his Son Jesus Christ to you. And that thankfulness should lead to that worship of who God is, and that worship of who God has made you. And I'm not talking about your physical things in life, your cars, your homes, right? Terry mentioned the big mansions, their latest, greatest truck, whatever. The heart that God has given you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. I hope each and every one of us came here today to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's always about God. Our lives should reflect that. Jesus reflected it in his life and his obedience. We are to reflect that as well as children of God.